If you're more of a visual learner or you like seeing charts, breakdowns, and exploring other topics, check out our Student Loan Planner YouTube channel. We've got quick explainer videos, deep dives, smart money tips you can actually see in action. Just search Student Loan Planner on YouTube and hit subscribe. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. Today, I want to introduce an original Travis idea in case it could help you dramatically accelerate the rate of your wealth growth. The idea is this. Are you a Shenri? What the heck is a Shenri? Let me explain. Maybe you've heard the term Henrys. A lot of people will say, we serve Henrys, right? What does that stand for? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. So if you think about who qualifies as a Henry, first of all, it's somebody that has a significant income, probably over $200,000 a year. I want to be clear that Student Loan Planner services all six-figure student loan borrowers. Not everybody can afford to pay for a $600 consult service. That's why we created products like SLP Insiders so that people could have, you know, at least a place for a very cheap price to ask questions and build community and things like that. We actually have a lot of our consultants actually answer the questions in the SLP app that people ask that are part of SLP Insiders. We know that we have some lower income folks that are in that community and they can afford that first year rate that it costs to join. So that's great. Everybody with any kind of degree can afford like the 50% off price for the first year with SLP Insiders. It's like $99. Now, what about somebody that's making more, like you have $100,000 of income or something along those lines and you have $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 of student loans? You know, if you're making what I would call a decent middle-class income, that's something that you can take a look at and say, well, can you afford if your furnace breaks and it's $2,000? Can you afford if your car needs a repair that's $500? Can you afford a kitchen table that you really need to get because you need somewhere to sit? The answer is yes. Of course, you can't afford those things every single month because that'd be a little bit more of an intense expense given that you've got a lot of competing needs for your money that you're earning, right? If you're earning $100,000 a year, you've got to pay the same rent and car expenses as everybody else. And, you know, one of the things that we see in surveys is like, there's not that big of a difference between somebody's car payment if they have a car payment that makes $100,000 a year and somebody that makes like $300,000 or $400,000 a year, which is kind of interesting. And in some ways, it maybe doesn't make a ton of sense. So if we think about, you know, I guess my thinking there is like you'd think that people that would make way more money would be buying, you know, whatever, extreme luxury cars. But it turns out that like everybody wants the same thing in a lot of ways, like safety for their family, right? So if you want the side curtain airbags, you want the anti-lock brakes, you want the cruise control, the lane keeping assist or whatever, like the cost for that nice family SUV that people want, you kind of want it if you make $100,000 a year, $200,000 or $400,000 a year. So what happens is at this sort of like intermediate income level, maybe people's lives are complex because of student loans, but maybe not a lot else. Maybe student loans is the greatest amount of complexity in their lives, and that's fine, but maybe that's what they really need help on is just getting the answers on their student loan related questions, and then they can finally exhale and say, okay, I'm good, right? And we have served a ton of people in that income bracket with student loan consults over the years. We served people of all income brackets, really, for Student Loan Planner. And one kind of category of people that we help a lot with Student Loan Planner is somebody that's more of a do-it-yourselfer that just, you know, they hire something very specifically for an extremely specific need, but they don't want to ask or pay for advice on other things. And that's fine. But what I've realized is there is a category of person in our community that is a Shenri that I want to talk about what that means. A Shenri is somebody who has six figures of student loans, who is a high earner, who's not rich yet. Shenri, right? Also, 2/3 of our audience is female. And so she, of course, is a part of that. You know, you have unique things that you've got to think through or that women are asked to disproportionately think about that are professional degree holders, like figuring out all kinds of the dynamics of how do you handle childcare expenses if that's applicable to you? You know, how do you deal with, frankly, challenges that maybe men don't have to deal with quite as much or maybe not as directly? Women still do more household chores, like even if you have a two-income household on average, right? On average is the key word there. Every couple is different, right? But on average, within that word, Shenri, he is still present within that word, right? So it's not like we're only for that term only encompasses women, but it definitely encompasses women. And so if you are this six-figure student loan borrower who, what is high earner? I think it's probably over $200,000 maybe as a household. And the reason I say that is because once you start earning more than $200,000 as a household, you start to have a significant amount of what I would call discretionary income that you can spend it whenever you want. Now, you might not feel like it's discretionary, but actually it maybe kind of is, right? And let me explain what I mean by that. If you're sending your kid to a daycare where you can keep your job, that is different from sending them to a really high quality preschool where they are being taught French every day or whatever, right? Like, I think that people might say, well, I've got to have like the ability to pay for this preschool for my kids so I can, well, the sending your kid to any preschool is like the need, and the want is sending them to a high quality one that is more expensive, but you know, you're really happy and excited that they're going to the best program possible, right? So what happens is above that 200,000 income level, I think a lot of, like as a household, I think a lot of things start to unlock. But the problem is the value of your time is high and the complexity is really high for a lot of people, at least. What does it mean to get help in that category? If you're a Shinri, why is that special? Why is that unique? Why am I talking about it? There's two kinds of Shinris. One is saying, I value my time really highly. I maybe want somebody to help me just kind of stay on top of all the nuanced stuff that happens when you are in this category of person, because it is a very unique category. And I want to talk about a little bit more why that is. Why is somebody who's a Shinri different from somebody that has other financial planning, like broad, like anybody that needs financial planning, right? I'll talk about a couple reasons why. So first off, somebody who is a Shinri probably has a lot more complex tax advantaged accounts available to them than other people. So for example, if you're making that kind of household income, one or both of you, if you're married, have access to 401k, 403b type plans, most likely. You might also have access to a 457 plan, and you might have access to an HSA. So you'd have to figure out how much do I put into each of those and how do I allocate it. You might have the need to file taxes married filing separately, which means you've got to use a backdoor Roth. Well, actually, if you're making that much, you're probably using a backdoor Roth anyway. And you might also have unique options like doing a mega backdoor Roth. So if you get this decision right with all of your tax advantaged accounts, and that, by the way, I'm going to read like kind of a, or I'm going to share rather, and read, I'm talking in a podcast here, a list of like five top ways that Shinris can build wealth, right? So I think that's going to be the rest of the pod if you're interested in listening. And this is mostly applicable to the highest income folks listening to the show. Again, that 200K and up household income, but it'll also be, you know, applicable to anybody. And so the first point is like just maximize your wealth growth in your tax deferred retirement accounts. Like attack the ability to maximize all of those if you can afford it. Why? Because it's going to give you so many flexible options later. Like if you go into your 60s or even your 50s with having a bunch of pre-tax and post-tax assets, having assets available for healthcare expenses, having brokerage account assets that you've done a bunch of tax loss harvesting in, like that's going to give you so much flexibility to optimize your retirement setup and have you dictate how things are going to be instead of have it dictated to you, such as not having enough money to retire and therefore you got to keep working, which is nobody wants that, right? Now, number two, a big optionality for Shinris to grow wealth is weaponize income-driven repayment to free up cash flow. This is not something that everybody should do, just to be clear. Some folks, like for example, maybe some really high-income dentists, might strategically want to lock in a 20-year fixed refinancing rate because the payment will be lower, and that'll give them more flexibility to invest a lot more starting up their startup dental practice or practice acquisition, for example. So not everybody should weaponize income-driven repayment, but some people should. And what do I mean by that? Strategic recertification delays, you know, filing your taxes a little bit late so you can use a prior year return where you had a much lower income, right? The resident that became an attending but is able to use extensions to get their resident tax return used to calculate their payment in the wrap plan might literally save tens of thousands of dollars in interest subsidies compared to somebody that doesn't do that. So somebody that has got a rapidly growing income has got a lot more flexibility and optionality around loopholes, frankly, to try to maximize savings that you can spend more on growing wealth instead of having it just go needlessly to student loan interest. The third tip is open a brokerage account really early. Okay, I think that one of the biggest screw-ups for student loan borrowers, in my opinion, is that more people don't have brokerage accounts. Why do I like brokerage accounts? Why is it so important? I will tell you why. I recently got a, you know, this is just super freaking privileged, but I'm going to say it anyway. We got a vacation home in a foreign country, and I was like not wanting to use all the capital gains in my brokerage account to buy it. So I figured out, oh, I can get a loan in this foreign country based off of assets. But if I do it, there's a chance that the loan's not going to go through and I have to be ready to pay for everything in cash. And so it's like, okay, well, because I have an organized brokerage account, I can access money before age 60. And because I've grown this money for, you know, a significant number of years investing in a brokerage account that's free and clear to use and whatever I want, I can do baller stuff like go get a completely unnecessary vacation home in a foreign country. Well, that's kind of crazy and super freaking privileged. But the reality is for folks that have that level of discretionary income, that have the 200K plus household income, you start having optionality around being able to do crazy stuff like that, like achieve the dreams that you've always wanted, right? And brokerage accounts help you do that before age 60. The retirement accounts are for after age 60 for the most part. So if you have big life dreams that you want to accomplish before age 60, and really, frankly here, I'm talking about your dreams you want to achieve 5 years from now or later, because stuff that's before 5 years, like sooner than 5 years, you probably should have most of that building up in cash savings. But if something's like 5-10-ish years away, like you're like, man, I would love to have a ski cabin when my like kids that are in elementary school right now are in high school, right? Okay, that's a 10-year away goal. And if you're not putting money away into a brokerage account, like it's going to probably take you more time to reach that goal. So open a brokerage account early to grow wealth as a Shenri. Number four is using professional loan programs strategically. So there are loan programs for physicians, dentists, and veterinarians primarily. Some are available to lawyers as well, where you can put down low down payments and buy your dream house sooner. Now, why would that make sense? Why could that help you? If you've got the dream to upgrade your house because you, again, maybe have your 7- and 8-year-olds or 6-year-olds or 5-year-olds or whatever that you want to have wonderful memories for the family home, and you know that you're going to go big on the house while in the 10 years while they're in the school district that you want them in, and then you're going to downsize when the kids go to college. How do you do that in the most tax efficient way possible? It depends on how you're utilizing the mortgage interest deduction. That's limited to $750K of principal, but like some people, their dream house is about $700-800K, right? And so in a roundabout way, you could max out your mortgage interest that is tax deductible with a physician loan or doctor loan or dentist loan, right? That it's got a really low down payment. You could get tax deductible interest that way. And then instead of spending money you would have spent on the down payment, you could spend that money on doing things like investments, like back to Roth or maximizing your 403B or paying down other kinds of debt, like inefficient student loan interest debt, for example. That's something you should do. So, you know, this number four option of like use professional loan programs more strategically, it's definitely, I think, a really good option for folks that do normal people things. Like a lot of people do starter home and then baller home, right? And then the baller home is brutal and expensive, and there's all these unexpected things that happen, and then their retirement gets delayed. That's not everybody's story, right? Just to be clear. But if you're not careful and you don't pay attention to all the complex things that are going on, it's easy to walk into it, right? Because like if you're a Shenri, you're going to get approved for a big mortgage, probably way more than you thought you could get. And it's so tempting to be like, that's a gorgeous house. Oh my gosh, I want that house. Let me do anything it takes to get it. And then you maybe do it in an inefficient way and cost yourself a ton of money. So that's not helpful. You know, professional loans can be a piece of the puzzle, but I would say maybe more broadly, just making really smart housing decisions in general with how you do everything related to housing and how you finance it and what you do with it. That's a critical part of growing wealth as a Shenri. And then the fifth part of being a Shenri, ways that Shenris can grow wealth, is either getting sources of alternative income or business income, or optimizing the work-life balance that you have from your power that your degree gives you. So let me explain what I mean by that. If you have a professional degree, which most people listening to this podcast do, your time is worth a lot, and it's worth more than the average worker. And you actually, I would argue, have significantly more protection than the average worker from the AI boom that's happening, right? The average worker that's got the bachelor's degree, that's a project manager at a big company, their job is definitely at risk. White collar jobs are super at risk. What jobs are less at risk? Jobs that are mandated to have professionals involved because that's what the law says, right? So like licensing requirements that make you jump through all these hoops to be a fill in the blank, right? Physician, dentist, veterinarian, etc. There's certain things that AI is literally not going to be allowed to do because of regulations and laws. And that's protecting the value of your time. And with the loan caps that are going into place, the value of your degrees is actually only going to go up, not down, right? Because there's going to be lower supply. That's going to put more pressure on employers to raise wages in these professional fields that people that listen to this podcast are disproportionately in. And what does that mean? It means that there's a much easier path to ownership for those folks. They could go become practice owners with a extremely high percent chance of success where you're going to make more money. And all you have to do is deal with the complexity of having the loans and making that decision to go do the practice. Or alternatively, maybe you want to stay as an employee, but you need to be more creative about asking for what you want. So an example of that could be asking for more PTO, asking for more flexible hours, asking to reduce your commute time, asking for special accommodation for more research. A lot of times people don't ask, they never get it. And you have to ask it with data. You've got to be very specific. You've got to explain why this is a win-win for both parties, not just an ask coming from you if you want the max chance of success. But somebody that's got six figures of student loans very often doesn't maximize their employment situation. What sometimes happens, right, is, and what the big sort of private equity backed healthcare conglomerates rely upon is people come out with loans. They're terrified. How am I going to deal with this $500,000 from my student loans? And they just take the first job you can get because you've got to make some kind of income because, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. I'm scared, right? So don't fall into that trap of being scared. Maximize the power of your degree instead of giving that away. Just to recap again, the top five ways Shinries can build wealth: maximize tax-advantaged accounts, weaponize income-driven repayment. That was number one. Number two is weaponize income-driven repayment or restructure your refinancing to free up cash flow to do smart things with your money or to free up money to do more stuff. Number three is open your brokerage account much earlier than you think. Number four is use your professional loan program strategically and make smart housing decisions. Number five is maximize the value of your degree, either through business ownership or getting more out of your employment relationship than most people would be able to get out of their employer. And I don't at all mean to say anything at all about lower income and middle income folks not being valuable. You are so valuable. Your worth as a person is, of course, not at all determined by your income. The only thing that's relevant is what service could most help you, what services could most help you. For example, my dad was a teacher. Mom was a nurse. They didn't need a high-priced estate attorney, right? But somebody that's owning multiple businesses and makes tons of money desperately needs one. Some people would maybe quibble about that and say, well, actually, no, the teacher needs the estate attorney to get a basic estate plan. But you know what I mean, right? So my thought process on this is, if you're listening to this podcast, if you are lower income, like using our free newsletter, our free podcast content, like not paying us a dime, totally great. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. If you're like a middle income person that's got student loans and you've already used our consult services, or you've done SLP Insiders and you are pretty happy with where you're at, or maybe you haven't ever hired us and you need to hire us, you know, go for it. Like, you'll get value. I know you'll get value almost surely. I can't guarantee that, but almost surely you'll get value out of a student loan planner consult, right? And it's not crazy priced so high that it's not unlike a car repair bill that you can prepare for if you have a middle class income. And if you're a higher income person, household income over 200K, also have six figures of student loans, you have a professional degree, you're in your 30s or 40s, if that's you, you got to think through, am I like completely DIY because I'm super cost conscious and I value control and I don't value my time as much as I value like control? If that's you, just stick to the student loan planner service. Don't do any financial planning. You won't be happy, and the financial planning firm you work with won't be happy either, to be honest. But the student loan planner consult service is a great fit for somebody that's got student loan questions and is a DIYer and doesn't want active help on other parts of their life. But the other flip side to that is, if you are a Shinri, a six-figure student loan borrower who is a high earner, but they're not rich yet, you're making over 200K a year, you have over 200K of student loans, you've got a professional degree in your 30s or 40s, you're super busy, that is like the core of who SLP Wealth serves. And so SLP Wealth, I feel like, is really taking off the past several months. I feel like we're making tons of progress on being what I think is a really, well, like, you can't say all these superlatives with compliance stuff, basically, because, you know, we're SEC registered and I've got to respect that. So I just think that we serve the Shinri market that values their time at a high level and wants somebody that gets the complexity of student loans and why you need to focus on your pre-tax retirement accounts first and get you to your specific goals faster. Like, I just love that business. I'm really starting to fall in love with that business again and how we're helping people in that space. So if you can afford, we actually just raise our prices too because of the value that we're bringing to the table, because we frankly don't have enough space, but also we just decided to like really go after serving the Shinri market with SLP Wealth, because that's who like has the by far the highest satisfaction scores. So that's where like we're realizing, oh, that's who can get served the best with that market. Not to say that you can't work with us if you're in your 20s, 50s, 60s, whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, that's her specialized in helping, right? Is the 35-year-old dentist with $300,000 of income, $600,000 of student loans that like really needs somebody to just say, hey, here's how you get on the path fast to wealth growth, right? So if that sounds interesting to you, if you wanted to try SLP Wealth and you're not already trying it, go to start.slpwealth.com. So start.slpwealth.com, that link actually gives you $100 off your first month. If you have a question about student loans in general, just check out studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. You know, record a question, ask about student loans, ask about whatever you want. I'll tackle it. But again, if you identify as a SHINRI after listening to this, a six-figure student loan borrower, high earner, not rich yet, but you know you will be one day, and you know that you could accelerate your wealth growth journey if you had somebody that could organize all the stuff for you and hit the easy button, try out our advisory team over there. I don't think you'll be sorry if you do it. So start.slpwealth.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. SLP Wealth's registered investment advisor with headquarters in Durham, North Carolina. And none of this is investment advice. It's just entertainment, unless you're for your financial advisor, right? So thank you for listening to SLP podcast. Have a great rest of your week. Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you could upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good, they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.